Welcome back into the show. It's time for the Lunch Rush, where we take a glance at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. You know, we talked about it a little bit, but it's worth reiterating. Mike Williams is out 2 to 3 weeks with fracture in his back. Yikes. This is, again, I think there were a lot of people that didn't like the decision anyway to play your starters in that meaningless Broncos game. But then when you get this, and I had heard earlier in the week that he was going to be okay. But now he's out for, so even if they win this weekend against the Jags, they're not going to have him for the next week and maybe even the AFC Championship if they get that far. This is your best player. I mean, one of them anyway. And you're without him going into the playoffs. That was a terrible decision, Angel. That's where I go, man. Even if they do lose a close game, I don't know. Staley's days might really be numbered there for the Chargers.
No, it's a fireable offense in the NFL. It's looked at differently with these coaches, but you making that decision to keep them in there in a game that, granted, it was close at the time, but it had no meaning.
It had zero meaning, man. I mean, it really didn't. That's just I know that we're in this new age and we want coaches thinking outside the box, but he's thinking outside, like way outside the box. And it's not just little things once in a while, going forward on fourth and whatever when he shouldn't. These are big decisions. Last year's decision to basically go at the Raiders, call timeout in overtime rather than let the Raiders run out the clock and go and just both teams end in a tie and both go to the playoffs, he calls a timeout. And the Raiders can tell you everything they want. The Chargers can too, that no, the Raiders were going to run a play and they were going to actively try to score. You saw the camera on the sidelines. It panned over to Derek Carr and all the Raiders and they're like, what? They're calling a tie. Okay, I guess we'll go try to win. And then this decision to play all your starters. Wow, big deal for Staley. The Packers are not ready to move on from quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Brian Gutekunst, just love saying that name, said he could look Aaron Rodgers in the eye and tell him straight up if the Green Bay Packers wanted to move on from the 39-year-old quarterback. But he said Friday that was not the case at this point, 5 days after his team ended the season with an 8-9 record and missed the playoffs for the first time since 2018. He said, if we were, sure, absolutely. You've got to be honest with him. You know what I mean? I think he deserves that if we get to that point. We're not at that point. Here we go again.
This sounds fishy.
It does kind of.
Why create more drama around Aaron Rodgers when we're trying to move off of him?
Well, and
let's keep it quiet. Don't tell Aaron anything. Yeah. We don't need any outburst or anything from him because we're trying to get rid of him.
I don't know. We're going to do this all over again, aren't we?
Yep.
This Rodgers, we're going to do it all over.
That's why they're trying to get ahead of it.
Oh, my goodness. They're trying to just say, hey, no, we want the guy. We're staying with the guy. We want him back. Both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, here we go. We're going to have this sweepstakes as far as who are they going to play? Are they going to retire? Tom Brady's is even bigger than that, though. It's like, is he going to retire? Is he going to stay in Tampa Bay? Or is he going to go somewhere else? And our guy Andrew Bogish of CBS Sports Radio told us moments ago that he doesn't think he's going to stay in Tampa Bay. Would you have thought 5 years ago, Tom Brady, who's with the Patriots forever, he's going to end his career somewhere else probably, so Tom Brady will have played and started quarterback for three different teams?
5 years ago, I would have thought he was retired.
Yeah, with the Patriots.
Nope.
Is there a chance he goes back to New England? There's not a chance, right?
The world might explode if that happens.
And then Mac Jones goes
anywhere
somewhere
else.
You trade him, I guess. I was just thinking about that. Are the Patriots off the table here? Go back, reunite with Bill Belichick?
I think they're certainly a wild card.
I think so.
You'd have to figure out that offensive coordinator situation, figure that out, but it's Brady. He's going to run his offense. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
The Raiders situation, that one's appealing because of Josh McDaniels. And McDaniels got rid of the quarterback.
And I think that offense is better than the Patriots' offense.
Yeah. The Raiders were just hard to figure out. I mean, they at times looked really good. How about Devontae Adams, though? He goes to the Raiders to be with his boy, you know, to be with Derek Carr. They're like best friends. Played at Fresno State together. He chose the Raiders over Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, that's got to be tough for him. But that's Josh McDaniels, dude. This is what he did in Denver. He came in and started blowing everybody out of here. He didn't get along with Brandon Marshall. He didn't get along with Jay Cutler. Tony Scheffler, tight end at the time. Was it Peyton Hillis, too, he didn't get along with? I'm like, he moved guys quickly. He came into Denver, and that's what he does. And now you have Derek Carr, the latest victim of that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's what he does, man. Tornado Josh or something like that. Hurricane Josh, is that what they call him? I mean, it was wild. He wanted to get rid of Cutler really fast because he wanted to get Matt Cassel to Denver. Because if you'll remember, Matt Cassel had a cup of coffee with the Patriots. The year Tom Brady got hurt in the first week or whatever, broke his leg, the Patriots went 11-5 that year with Matt Cassel. But they did miss the playoffs. They missed the playoffs even though they were 11-5. And that was always the case for Bill Belichick. Was the one year without Tom Brady, you actually were pretty good, but you did miss the playoffs. You went 11-5 and missed. So Matt Cassel was getting a lot of offers and a lot of looks. Josh McDaniels wanted Matt Cassel in Denver, but instead the Chiefs got him. So we'll go with Kyle Orton. And Jay Cutler had a better career than both of those guys. Certainly Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel went to Kansas City, and he was bad. Kyle Orton was just a guy. Guy you'd love to go have a beer with. Jay Cutler actually, you know, had a decent career. Not a great one, but a decent one.
It's a very low bar there.
Yeah, it's true.
Saying Jay Cutler had a better career than those guys is, well, okay, sure. But statistically, yes. But Jay Cutler's like bottom of the barrel in terms of quarterbacks.
Jay Cutler was an interesting one.
He was.
I liked watching him. Like, he had that gunslinger. He had a heck of an arm, gunslinger kind of mentality. Just didn't figure it out. You know, he was an okay quarterback. Although he went to Chicago, too. Traded to Chicago. Not many quarterbacks come out of Chicago alive. Not many quarterbacks come out and you say, oh, that guy was great.
Didn't they sign him to a big deal, too?
Yeah, yeah. Then they had the playoff game, and he didn't play because his shoulder was jacked up or something like that. But they did go to the playoffs with him once, maybe twice.
I just remember him from that clip around where the ref like kind of smacks him in the face.
Yeah.
He was on the Dolphins for a hot second there.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's right.
That was like at the end of his career.
He was on a podcast with somebody talking about Mike Martz. You remember Mike Martz? He was the offensive kind of genius or the offensive genius behind the Rams when Kurt Warner was there. And he's like, dude, I'm telling you, Martz coaches like he plays Madden. He seriously just, it's like verts all the time. And Jay Cutler was joking because he's like, yeah, he told me one time, you just throw it to this spot no matter what. And Cutler's like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. What if he's not open? Whatever. He goes, throw it to that spot. If it's picked off or whatever, it won't be your fault. Like, it'll be somebody else's fault. And they would run. He's like, dude, we would just run the same plays over and over and over again. We'd run one play. It didn't work. We'd run the exact same play the next time. And it was just go, go, go. I love those stories. They're fascinating to me. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Broncos ownership did organize a group and allow a bunch of players, former players, they set it up to go see Ronnie Hillman's celebration of life. And I was thinking about that, Angel, that this ownership has done kind of a lot of the right things by their former players. I heard they did the Super Bowl 32 party. They rejoined all those guys, got them back. They paid for that. I think that that's really, really big. And that does show me that there's a lot of class with the ownership, you know, helping out your former players and putting up a situation where they can go honor one of their former teammates.
Yeah, if it's not just that, as what you said, it's understanding the history and the culture and the pedigree of the Denver Broncos and making sure they don't forget it. Yeah, times are tough right now, and we're in a transitional period at the moment, but we want you guys to know that we know who we recognize it, and we still honor that.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
I think that is. I think it's very cool. I'm excited to see what Greg Penner does. You know, I don't know enough about him and this ownership group to tell you if they're going to be good, but those kind of moves that we just outlined, those are big things. Those are important things. Now can he really find the next GM. You know what I think is interesting too, Angel? Is if it's Harbaugh or Peyton. Because George Peyton is involved in these interviews, right? We've told Greg Penner said, I'm leaning on him. I'll be looking for his advice throughout all of this. Well, don't you think that if Sean Payton's hired, he's the GM too? So if you're George Peyton, you're essentially interviewing. You're interviewing your replacement. That has to be so weird. He's involved in all the interviews. He's sitting right there. He's doing the Skype or whatever they're doing. He's a part of it. He has to know in the back of his head that I'm interviewing you, and if you're the guy, you're going to want to be the GM too.
Would he just be acting GM
for a year?
Or just a GM in place, in title only?
I guess. I don't know why he's still here. It doesn't make any sense.
Who do you get to replace him? If Sean Payton's the GM, do you just don't have one?
No, you just have him as, you know, some teams do this where it's just you're the head coach, but you're also you're fulfilling the GM duties. You know, you're in charge of the draft. You're in charge of free agency. Obviously Greg Penner has to approve all of that, but you're in charge. You're the guy making all these decisions, and that's what it would be for Sean Payton. Maybe a Jim Harbaugh, too. I mean, that's it. Like, yeah, you might have another guy handle some of the other things, like, as far as actually getting the contracts and signing them. But Sean Payton's the kind of guy, I think, that comes in and he's going to want control of who they're bringing in, of who they're drafting, who they're signing in free agency, who they're moving on from. He's going to want that control. Now, not everybody on this list is going to get that control. Evero's not going to get that. Jim Caldwell's not going to get that. I don't even know that Dan Quinn gets that. But you're doing it for Harbaugh. You're doing it for Sean Payton. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's look at the Denver Broncos and their coaching situation at this point. What's the latest? Is there anybody rising to the top, at least out there, that we're hearing about? What's the latest with Sean Payton as the jobs are starting to stack up for him? So we'll get into that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor brings us a game beer of the week. You're going to need a game beer of the week for all these crazy playoff games coming up this weekend. From our friends at Prost Brewing, it's a Dunkel. It's their Dunkel. It's available at On the Rocks Liquor. You can use the drive-thru. You pop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. Join owners John and Tony on January 28th to celebrate On the Rocks Liquor's 12th anniversary. Door prizes and giveaways all day long. 12 years. Crazy. Love what they do. Congratulations to them. Great people, John and Tony, at On the Rocks Liquor, right off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, very close to Buffalo Wild Wings. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So, Angel, I was kind of wanting to get an idea of what an actual trade for Sean Payton would look like. So when I'm saying these things, like, you know, it's not up to Sean Payton necessarily. It's still up to the Saints. He's going to have say where he goes, but then the Saints are going to say, all right, well, we'll see who gives us the most of those jobs that you like. So I kind of just wanted to get an idea of what it would take. And I read a few different options. Here's one of them from USA Today, and a lot of these do kind of sync up with this. They're kind of throwing it out there that if the Broncos were able to get Sean Payton, and that was one of his destinations of choice, here's what it would look like. Broncos get Sean Payton, nothing else, just Sean Payton. And the Saints get a 2023 first-round pick. So this year's pick, the 49ers pick, could be anywhere from 22 to 32, I guess, right? A 2023 third-round pick. So you wouldn't have a first-round pick? Would you even have a second-round pick? The Broncos gave up how many second-rounders for us? And then they'd get rid of next year's second-round pick. So a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and then next year's second-round pick for Sean Payton.
That's Denver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be Denver. That would be kind of the idea they're thinking with Denver. Now, if it's Houston, they're going to ask for the 12th, like I said the other day. Saints would get their 12th pick, a fourth-round pick, and then next year's fourth-round pick. That is, that one would, see, if I'm the Saints, I'm going, Sean, if you tell me that you're picking those three, this is before the Cowboys job and the Rams job and maybe the Chargers job even thinks about coming open, but if those are your three choices, Houston, got to give us 12, because you have two first-round picks. So you give us your 12th, and I guess they're thinking it's going to be more, though. Like, basically what it's going to take to get Sean Payton is a first-round pick and a couple later round picks, whether that's second or fourth round or something like that. You good with that, Broncos country? I just still think it's weird that we're in this situation where we're trading for coaches now. It's happened before, but it's just bizarre. But you would be giving up a lot. Again, you'd be mortgaging your future now on Sean Payton. Which, guys, is it just that obvious, like a proven thing that you're going to give up all these picks and then here comes Sean Payton? Yeah, he coached well with the Saints. Could he do it again? We just don't know that. Free agent signing, great, do it. If he were available, flip a coin between Harbaugh and Sean Payton and I'm with you. But you have to give up too much to get this guy.
The reality for the Broncos is if you do make a trade for Payton, he is going to have to win with the roster you have right now.
Yes. And how confident are you in that roster? Defensively, 75% of the season, they were very good. A top five. But the last 20-25% of the season, they struggled. Now, was that wear and tear? Was that mentally just checking out because you know the offense is terrible? What was it? Offensively, they have a terrible offensive line, which is why you need the picks. You have to have the picks. Free agency is going to be tough. Do a lot of players want to come here? A-plus players want to come to Denver's offense.
If it's not a cap issue, it's can you get players to come here?
Correct. And you have a lot of things to figure out as far as the cap goes. You got to get Jerry Jeudy locked up. You want to get him extended. That's going to cost you money. So you have guys on this roster. You're going to stay with Garrett Bowles. You're going to re-sign Dalton Reisner. So I just, the Sean Payton thing is looking less and less like it's a reality. And you read somewhere today, or you heard Ian Rappaport talking about maybe Arizona's the favorite of the three right now.
Yeah, Rappaport was saying this morning that Arizona and Sean Payton are likely. Yeah, that's, you know, he hasn't had an interview yet, but that is probably the leading candidate right now. Houston, it's hard to say. They have the draft picks. They have the capital to do it. But do they want? They're basically starting over as a franchise. So do you want to bring in a coach like that and let it go from there, like you said, with Bryce and figure it out? Or do you just go to Arizona, figure it out for half a season, get Kyler back?
Well, and if the Rams job doesn't come open and the Chargers job doesn't come open, if you're Sean Payton, do you just wait? Do you just go back to TV for another 2 years? Or just this year and then see what comes open next year?
I think he wants one of the LA jobs.
I do too.
And I think it's more than likely it's going to be the Rams that's going to open first.
Feels more and more like Sean McVay is going to retire or semi-retire.
If he doesn't take the Rams job, I think he would take the Cardinals job.
So you think that the Cardinals is appealing enough, even if the Los Angeles jobs and the Dallas job, they don't open up?
I would say Rams, Cowboys, Cardinals.
You go Rams over the Dallas job, huh? Just because he lives there. I mean, it does make sense. Dallas is the better team.
It's a matter of him, if he wants to win now or if he wants to actually build up a team and make it his own team.
Right. And that's why I think the Houston thing's appealing, because you're starting from scratch. And you do have, you could get your quarterback there. Because you have the two first-round picks. It's likely going to take number 12 to get him. But that's why if I'm the Saints, that's more appealing to me. But if Sean Payton says no to that, then you have to go back to the Saints and say, all right, are they comfortable with Sean Payton saying no to Houston, or is it a deal breaker? 29 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Ryan Edwards just about everything with this coaching situation and the Broncos and what that looks like. We'll talk to Ryan Edwards of KOA. Coming up next, it's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Should be a very fun weekend in the NFL, certainly interesting. And hopefully, for this guy, our next guest's sake, and myself, hopefully it's a fun weekend for the Colorado State Rams. I know Ryan Edwards, my guy with KOA, we're going to talk all things Broncos, but I know you're a big Rams guy, too. Hopefully Colorado State can get this thing back on the right track as far as men's basketball.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I've been sort of monitoring from afar. Of course, most of the work I do tends to be around the NFL and the Broncos. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm always keeping track of my Rams, and I love what Coach Medved's doing up there.
Well, and I like it. You know, a lot of Denver guys are Buffs guys, but Ryan, you're one of those known guys. You're kind of fighting by yourself, you know, sticking up for those Rams. So I always appreciate your insight on it, because I know you're primarily in the NFL with the Broncos, but I do appreciate you delving into the Rams once in a while when you can.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to represent. There used to be more of us locally down here that rep the Rams, but no, I work on a show with two Buffs, and we're the home of the Buffs, and so... Yeah, a little bit outnumbered, but yeah, somebody's got to wrap.
Yeah, well, appreciate you as always, my friend. Well, this Broncos head coaching search certainly is interesting, man. We keep adding names to the list. We obviously heard about David Shaw, Jim Caldwell. There's a lot of guys in the mix for this. Ryan, is it basically still, though, in your mind, is it Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, then everybody else? Or what are your thoughts as far as who's leading in the clubhouse?
Well, I mean, some of this is contingent on what's happening in their scenarios, in their situations, right, and the leverage that's being used. So take Jim Harbaugh, for example. If Michigan comes correct and they pay him the contract that he's looking for, I see the scenario he more likely stays in Michigan. Mm. But if they don't, well, then he's definitely an option for the Broncos. Sean Payton is waiting to see what happens with these L.A. jobs, as well as the Dallas Cowboys. If the Chargers and the Cowboys lose in the first round, well, we could see changes there. And maybe Sean Payton is the next guy up. So I think he's waiting a little bit, and he's using his whatever leverage he has right now, not to mention the fact that the Broncos have to give up draft capital for him, that he's using his leverage to say, well, yeah, I'll listen to what you guys have to say, but he's keeping one eye fixed on what's going on with those teams because those are the primary teams he's most interested in. And then, yeah, I mean, with Dan Quinn also, again, if you're thinking about the Cowboys gig, he's also in line potentially to be the head coach there if Mike McCarthy gets fired. So there's a lot of things sort of at play here. But, yeah, I think for the Broncos, they really do want to swing big. They want this to be a splashy move. You know, the Penners, Waltons, they came into this thing. They have all the money that they possibly want at their disposal. Richest owners in NFL, and I mean, I guess probably sports, but just specifically NFL history. So then in their mind, they want this thing to be headline-grabbing. And if you're going to be that, then you're probably starting with those names.
Ryan Edwards joining us from KOA. Ryan, what are the chances that you don't get either of those three guys, Harbaugh, Payton, and Dan Quinn?
It's a possibility, right? I mean, it sounds wild to think like, you know, you're swinging for those names. One of them's bound to be available. But like I said, I just laid out a scenario, a realistic scenario that all three are not available. And so then you have to look at Jim Caldwell. You got to look at David Shaw. You've got to look at some of the other options. Heck, you might even consider at that point promoting Jero Evero and saying, well, hey, look, we really are impressed with him. We think he's ready to be a head coach right now. We're going to go ahead and build a great staff around him, and we're going to go that way. Again, that seems pretty far down the list if you just consider the fact that this is a group that really wants to get this coaching hire right, because they view, with Russell Wilson, they are in a bit of a window here. So this isn't one of those like, hey, let's invest in Avero or invest in D'Amico Ryans, which I think are both could be fantastic head coaches in the league. Let's invest in these young guys and sort of build this thing from the ground up. They think their roster is ready now. We'll, of course, see, right? You got to see. It's got to actually play out that way, but that's how they view it.
Ryan Edwards again joining us. With the Sean Payton thing, Ryan, What realistically, I've been looking around just to see like what the trade would actually look like, what the, how many picks, whatever. In your mind and from what you're hearing, what would it take? If Sean Payton says, you know what, I like the Broncos situation, I want to go there. Saints, you good with that? And the Saints call the Broncos and say, here's what we want. What do you think they're asking for?
Well, they're going to probably ask for this year's first. I'd say probably the Broncos' third. And they probably are asking for a day two pick next year. It's going to be a pretty big haul. And, I mean, maybe you can talk them into a first this year and maybe your fourth this year and then a day two, like a second rounder next year. Maybe you can get away with that. But, yeah, they're going to want first plus. And I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 picks. Maybe you can part with a player or cash. But the cash isn't the problem for them necessarily. They want to try to recoup some of the picks. They got to get younger in some spots. They've been up against it on the salary cap for a while. So for them, it's about getting some draft compensation and sort of building out this roster a little bit. They still have some players that are talented, but they're getting ready to have their knees cut out from underneath them because they still don't have a quarterback sort of set there. So. You know, for the Saints, that's what they're going to be looking for, and then it's kind of up to the Broncos at that point if they want to pay the freight.
And that's why, I suppose, again, after seeing what we saw with Russell Wilson, even if it was worked out this year, it's still a haul. And so the idea of moving on from these draft picks, to me, Ryan, that's why Sean Payton, I'm just not getting my hopes up for that kind of guy, because I just think the drafts, especially with what you did with Russ, pair that with this idea, man, I mean, the whole idea with George Payton was that he was going to make his money in the draft, that he was really good at evaluating talent. Well, every year we just keep removing draft picks. So at some point, you got to hold on to some of them.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree based on the fact that they made the Russell Wilson trade. If they hadn't done that, if they were working with a developmental quarterback that they believed in, there'd be some argument for it, right? Especially because George Payton has done a good job the last couple of years making some trades and acquiring back talent. You know, the Von Miller trade getting a couple of day two picks, the Bradley Chubb trade getting a first rounder. So he's done a good job of sort of restocking the shelves. But again, you're talking about it perfectly there. It's like you're such a narrow margin here, and you do have some needs, right? Offensive line has to be addressed. If Draymond Jones, you can't bring him back, you're going to have to address defensive line. There's other positions. You probably want to add another cornerback into that room because you always need more cornerbacks. And you might need another wide receiver potentially if you're thinking you need a difference maker there. So, I mean, some things you can solve in free agency, some things you need to address in the draft. And for the Broncos, it does seem like a bit of a tall task at this moment to go ahead and say, yeah, let's go ahead and part with all these things to get a coach. And the reality is, I feel like a lot of these other coaches could fit the bill just as well, right? I mean, yeah. I think Sean Payton is very, very good at what he does. But to say that he is so elite at being a head coach versus some of the other candidates you're interviewing, I just think that you could get those candidates, you could pay them a bunch of money, and you wouldn't have to give up the draft picks. That's probably the direction I would prefer.
Yeah, I'm with you there, because when you look at Harbaugh, like if they were both just not tied to a team, you didn't have to trade. I mean, it's almost a coin flip. Harbaugh, in a short time with teams, has turned stuff around, and he's done it multiple times. That's kind of why it's more appealing to me. Sometimes, Ryan, you see a coach with the same organization over and over again, and they're just so comfortable there. Bill Belichick can do whatever he wants with the Patriots. But you look at a guy with Harbaugh, the fact that he went to other places and did it in a short time, that's what's really appealing to me about the idea of getting him over here as the Broncos head coach.
Yeah, I like Harbaugh a lot. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that he does tend to wear out his welcome a little bit. And inevitably, he does kind of rub some people the wrong way. He's sort of described as aloof. There's a bit of chaos that kind of surrounds him, but he wins, right? So it's like one of those things like, hey, man, if Nathaniel Hackett would have won, we'd be having a completely different conversation about him. It's like, well, you know, he's a little bit on the warm and fuzzy side, but guess what? Hey, he wins. The guys respect him. Everything's good. Well, this guy is the opposite, right? He's kind of he's kind of a difficult guy to deal with. I had a different word I was going to use, but we'll just say that. He's kind of a difficult guy to work with. So you have to kind of factor that in a little bit, and that might be a bit more of a short burn, right? We're talking about a 3 to 4 year proposition with Jim Harbaugh before he wears out his welcome. Versus, again, the investment in Sean Payton, he could be here for the next decade. And that's something you do have to weigh out.
What do you think of if it were Harbaugh and it was, as you say, a short burn, if it was 3 or 4 years, what if Evero stays on the staff and he just kind of commits to 3 years with this team? And if that's what Harbaugh would want, maybe you start grooming that guy and you kind of go into it with that idea. Is that way outside? Is that too far-fetched?
No, I don't think it's far-fetched at all. But again, those things are they're placeholder concepts, right? Because all of a sudden, if Evero gets offered a job for another team, like the Colts and Texans are interviewing him, let's say next year it's a couple other teams that are very interested because he has another good year. Well, you're asking him to stick around and deny those opportunities for the possibility that he's going to be the guy. And what if the defense falls off the next year and the organization sours on him, and now all of a sudden he's trying to look for work as a linebackers coach or a secondary coach again? The windows for these coaches, and this is the same thing I've been saying about Harbaugh for a little while. It's like, hey, man, strike while the iron's hot. You are one of the hot names right now. Go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity because everything changes next year. A new coach comes out. All of a sudden we're talking about Ben Johnson or Shane Steichen, and those are the names that everybody wants and everybody's interested in, and you're no longer pushed to the front of the line. If you are in that conversation, take advantage of those moments. And so for him, if he shows back up in that list next year and it's like, oh, but we were going to try to groom you for the next guy, no, Arrow's got to be gone. He's got to go find his opportunity. He's going to have to – he can't hold on to the possibility that the Broncos are going to stick by him, because in this business, nobody does.
Ryan Edwards joining us from KOA. And Ryan, personally for you, you would be interviewing Harbaugh every single week, because I know you guys, the voice of the Broncos, so you interviewed Hackett all the time, who was just a great guy, easy to talk to. How you feeling about every single week knowing you'd be interviewing Harbaugh if he's the guy? Because he can take interviews anywhere, man. He could even make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, he can. And I hadn't even considered that, but now I am considering that. Yeah, do I have a selfish reason to go with it? Because Dan Quinn's a great interview, right? Yeah. I mean, I know that, and Sean Payton's a little wily too, but you get some good answers out of him because he's done some broadcasting. That's a good point about Jim Harbaugh. I hadn't considered it. Yeah, well, I think with Jim, yeah, I mean, for him, like some of these coaches, they love talking ball. They don't want to get into. They don't want to get into the periphery of that, and if you ask, you'll know pretty quick. If you ask a question that they don't really want to talk about, Bill Belichick is famous for that, right? If you go to Bill Belichick and you ask him a question he doesn't want to talk about, he gives you a 1 or 2 word answer. But then if you ask him about the history of the game or you ask him some concept or whatever, boy, he'll talk for 5-6 minutes on that. And so I think with Harbaugh, it's just sort of finding the path on what interests him, what intrigues him about whether it's a matchup or whether it's something going on with the team. But no, you're 100% right. He is material, and that's probably the kindest way to put it.
I just remember years ago, the Cowherd interview, Ryan, where it was so uncomfortable. I mean, just listening to it, I'm uncomfortable. Harbaugh's barely giving him anything. It was weird, but I was thinking about you the other day. I was like, that's got to be something I wonder if that crosses your mind, because I think about that. I'm probably silly like that, but if I think of, oh, CSU's going to hire this coach, wonder how he's going to be on the air. Harbaugh would certainly be a unique one for you guys to talk to on a weekly basis.
No doubt. And again, a lot of these, it's such different personalities. I mean, very clearly the Broncos are looking for experience. And even when you go to Jim Caldwell, right, I mean, who I think probably should be talked about more. I mean, he wins a lot. He has a lot of success in the NFL. But it's just, we remember the way it ended, right? The 2-14 season with the Colts, Detroit Lions, and how it just kind of fell apart. But that's not all on him. And they still won like 7 games that year, I think. But the point being is, with these guys, with the personalities, you just sort of have to figure out what sort of, gets them going. And, with Nathaniel Hackett, he was just an easy guy to talk to, very disarming. Yeah. Just, he wanted to talk about whatever, and I mean, he got to a point where things were getting really bad, and you felt for him, because people would hit us up all the time. And you're like, oh, you got to press him. And it's like, well, you could press him, but then there's a certain amount of just looking at the human aspect of it and saying, okay, well, What is that going to do? He already knows that the team is struggling. He already knows that he's not doing a good job. And you can throw that in his face, or you can just try to find creative ways. So I'd ask him, like, hey, man, before he had turned over play calling, hey, are you, just like you guys brought in Jerry Rosberg, are you considering other options to look at play calling or bringing somebody in to help you with that, like Jerry Rosberg did for game management? You just try to find creative ways to ask those questions, just at least give the guys a chance to give a thoughtful response rather than the antagonistic, hey, you suck at your job, and I'm going to remind you of that every time you call in on Monday. So let's get used to that.
Well, and Ryan, that's a great point, because I was actually talking to some guys, the Coloradoan fellows yesterday, and they were bringing up, like, talking about Jay Norvell and the coaches. They said, if you burn this guy once, you're done. You're never going to have a good relationship. And that's what I think is unique, too, with what you do. You know, you want to grill them. You want to ask those real questions. But you also don't want them to be like, dude, Ryan was kind of a jerk. I don't want to do that show ever again. So you don't want to lose that. So it is an interesting balance.
Well, right. And so, again, I know we're kind of going down the rabbit hole here, but it's kind of like, you know, just human interaction, right? I mean, that then becomes every time he's set to call in, he's going to immediately get up his defenses. And so Then you're battling that on top of the loss that they're already dealing with and the frustrations, and then they're just going to clam up. And so, you know, what I'd rather do is build that rapport, build that relationship, find avenues to ask some of those tougher questions, and then, you know, find ways to you know, still create that human interaction, because I think you're going to get more out of it in the long term. But you're right. I mean, it's a delicate balance to walk, because then, you know, we get called state-sponsored radio because we're not, like, telling the dude that he's, like, the worst thing that ever happened to the Broncos. And I mean, it's a tough balance to walk.
Yeah,
walk.
No question. But I think you guys still do a wonderful job of that. No matter when it's like an uncomfortable interview. But I will, Ryan. I will be very interested. You let me know if it's Harbaugh when that first interview happens, because dude, I'm really curious to see how that one goes down. So that would be fun.
I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I think he'll be energized. I mean, early on, it's, you know, usually there's a honeymoon phase, right? I mean, early on, everything is great. Even with Nathaniel Hackett, everything was fun. We were talking Star Wars. We were goofing around. And then, you know, then the game started happening, and it was a lot less fun. And then it became like, well, I can't joke with you anymore. We can't have any fun. And that's tough with a guy like that, because you're just like, man, like, that's part of who you are. Mm. It's like, let's have some fun. But you can't do any of that because, again, that the optics of that also aren't great.
Well, and it would have been golden, wouldn't it? If they would have been good, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so nice and he's so easy to talk to. You guys could go so many different directions with those interviews. But unfortunately, it was just a rough go. Ryan, my man, appreciate you so much. Love what you do. And looking forward to a fun weekend. There's a lot of these games where it's not just a loss. It's maybe they're going in different directions, too. So should be highly entertaining.
Oh, no doubt. And they're all teams that have played each other.
Yeah.
Like all these matchups happened earlier in the year, which I think is so fascinating, sort of the dynamics. I mean, even go back to the first week with Dallas and Tampa Bay, right? I mean, that's a long time ago, but you sort of wonder, they really own that matchup. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
All right, my man. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks.
All right, Ryan Edwards, KOA. Because I do some stuff down there sometimes. So, Angel, I've had a couple of opportunities to interview Hackett. So if I ever fill in on a Harbaugh day, I'm a little nervous for that one. It'll be a little intimidating for that one. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I just think the Sean Payton thing, dude, it's just too rich. You hired George Payton. Plus, that's too many Paytons. You know, because we're always talking about Peyton Manning, and then George Payton, and then Sean Payton. I mean, just should we ask Gary Payton to come over? Who's your favorite Payton of all time? Is it Peyton Manning?
I can't think of any others, so sure.
More so than Gary Payton? Good defensive player for the Sonics back in the day. Great defensive player. The glove.
Sonics is... That's beyond my time.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy to me. Yeah, Peyton Manning. Probably the best. Peyton Hillis. Thinking about that guy, too. He's
getting better.
He's getting better, right? Yeah, that's good. There's another Peyton. Any more Peytons? Let's do the Peyton draft. We just draft Peyton. First or last name. Love that. You hired George Payton to come here, and he said it in his press conference, Angel, that I believe in building through the draft, evaluating young players coming out of college, and I feel like that's my strength. That's one of the main reasons you brought him here, because Elway's drafting, for the most part, was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. And Payton had the one real draft class where he picked up Patrick Surtain. He picked up Javonte Williams. He picked up Quinn Meinerz. These are all guys that are some of the better players on your football team. So if you really believe that George Payton is good at this and can build your team, then what are you doing? That's why you brought him in. Stop giving stuff away. I was still blown away by the fact that they gave Russell Wilson everything to get here. Right when it happened, it's like, it's Russell freaking Wilson. It's still exciting to me. I was cool with it. But originally, Angel, you know my stance. I was like, stay the course with Drew Lock or whatever. Stop getting rid of picks, and maybe that quarterback will show up in the draft. But no, kept getting rid of them, and maybe they're going to get rid of more. We'll talk about that and get our NFL playoff picks coming up for the weekend ahead. Stay tuned. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.